from Paris to Portland. You've picked up the guidance. You've followed the advice. This is the Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer, president of Fromer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Fromers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Fromers guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
That's right. You are listening to the Fromer Travel Show. I am Pauline Fromer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we are happy to be here, although I'm actually not in studio today. As you may hear from the sound of my voice, I'm in LA for the LA Travel and Adventure Show. To those of you who are listening on podcast, I hope you'll come and see me tomorrow. And then next week I'm in Denver, so I'll be broadcasting from there. But one thing I'm glad about is that I'm a New Yorker, and I'm a proud New Yorker. And I'm an angry New Yorker because of something that happened last week. Now, on the travel show, we try not to get too deeply into politics, but sometimes we have to when it affects travel. So the question of the day is, last week, the Trump administration announced that it would no longer be allowing New Yorkers to apply for global entry. That is one of the trusted traveler programs, and the Department of Homeland Security is claiming that because of our laws regarding driver's licenses, we will not be able to give them sufficient information for New Yorkers to be in this program anymore. What do you think? Do you think this is fair? Do you think it's right? We'd love to hear your thoughts on this matter. 800-848-9222 is the number. Once again, that number is 800-848-9222. Jason, what do you think about this?
I think that out of the gate, this question is already a little oversimplified because the administration was claiming, as you said, that they couldn't get information from driver's licenses, so therefore could not perform background checks. I think none of us disagree that we really ought to be having some background checks. We all think there should be background checks when we apply for global entry or something like this. That's not really the question. The problem is that they don't have to have a driver's license to get global entry background check. You know, you wrote a great editorial that's up on Fromers.com, Pauline, and it says you did the research. You said that fewer than 60% of New York State residents even have driver's licenses, and yet since 2008, we've still been getting global entry. So for the government to pretend that we can't have global entry because they don't like the way they're receiving driver license information isn't fair or even legitimate for at least 40% of the population who don't even have one. So that's not fair. But also, you know, I don't understand why the government couldn't operate more efficiently here and just say, okay, New Yorkers, you want to be in global entry? Fine. You just can't use a driver's license for your ID. Use your passport, use any other birth certificate. There's all sorts of other things that are completely open and available to use. But it looks very much like the citizens of New York are being held as pawns in a political fight that the administration is having with New York State. And in fact, Cuomo is going to be suing.
So what do you all think? I'd love to hear from our listeners on this one. I think you can see where we stand. I think we've tipped our hats a bit on this one. But to me, this just seems like political revenge or a way for the administration to interfere in a state's laws. They are not happy with the way we created our laws here in New York, and so they're using this and punishing travelers, I must add.
But he's also not very happy with New York politicians, too. I think they've been in opposition in Washington, and so this is possibly one way to get back at his enemies, perhaps. But no, again, the issue is not about background checks. We all think there must be background checks. So that in a way, that's almost a red herring sort of side to this argument.
Well, that's interesting. I called the Cuomo administration when I was writing my editorial on this to see what they would have to say. And they gave me the background that most of the information that the Department of Homeland Security would need to get is available from other sources. In fact, all of it is, they said. They said that they didn't need driver's licenses. You can check all that info through the FBI and through many other sources. But maybe we're wrong. Maybe some of our listeners have other thoughts. 800-848-9222 is the number if you want to get in on this conversation. Other things in travel news, there's been a lot in travel news this week, actually. SeaWorld has announced that it will no longer allow its trainers to ride dolphins. Now, this follows them taking orcas out of their shows. Am I right on that, Jason?
Well, it was about orca performances. It was more about swimming with the orcas. The orcas are still there. Some of them are raised in captivity and can't be released. So there are still orcas on display. But how they display them now is much more hands-off than it used to be. Yeah, SeaWorld is in an interesting spot. We all have heard about all the controversies that have been coming, you know, for the last decade or so. Interestingly, PETA, which is the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, actually purchased shares in the SeaWorld company so they could start having a say, which is a fascinating way to change things. It's interesting. And so this PETA shareholder said, "We don't want trainers to stand on dolphins' faces or treat them like surfboards anymore." And SeaWorld, you know, the other people running the board were like, "Well, we don't stand on their faces. They're called rostrums, and they're not surfing on the, that's not how we're doing." So they had that back and forth about how we're going to qualify what they're doing. But in the end, SeaWorld said, "You're right. Okay, we're not going to stand on the skull or the rostrum or the face of the dolphins anymore," which frankly they didn't do a whole lot of anyway for the last few years. And they're going to just sort of watch them perform from the sidelines more and more. So it's a win for people who don't want to see or be entertained by the handling of animals. It does not set the dolphins free. Again, many of them are born on those premises and have never been in the wild. So that's another problem that has yet to be solved.
I see that we have some calls coming in. So let's take Judy in New York City. Thank you for calling, Judy. What do you think about this all?
I think that the administration is correct in not wanting to permit this because it used to be in the old days that you could get an international driver's license or an international document of who you were. With this, you do not have to say whether you are a citizen or not.
Judy, you have to have a passport. You can't apply without a passport. So that's actually not true because you can't have an American passport, can you, if you're not an American citizen? And also, this is important to note, and we didn't say this before. Up until now, the Department of Homeland Security has had a right to refuse anyone who applies for global entry for any reason. This isn't something that you could just go put your papers down and get it because you have a right to. They have always been denying people, not even telling them why they've been denying them, which is their right to do, I think, as guardians of our security. So they could have just kept doing that. They could have just said, if you're going to apply with a driver's license, we're going to decline your application, as they've done for years before now.
Driver's license, fine, of a different color. A non-citizen driver's license, like the international driver's license that they used to give out. Since they switched to allowing anybody, whether they're a citizen or not, they can also use that to vote, which means our elections will not be.
Well, that's a separate issue, but we're talking about global entry, which you cannot apply for global entry without an American passport. So I don't see how those two connect actually in this particular issue, because foreign citizens cannot get global entry to begin with because they cannot present an American passport. And by the way, I'll also add, in order to apply for global entry, you already must be completely fingerprinted, all 10 digits. You must also go through that background check we were talking about, and you must also go in for an interview face-to-face with a DHS security officer before they'll even consider giving you the membership. So all of these have already been in place long before this.
Can you determine with this and let this happen as long as it is for citizens or not citizens, and they have to determine on that piece of paper or document that they are a U.S. citizen or not, and let it be known that
it's already there. Yeah.
As Jason was saying, for global entry, you need to have a passport, and you can't have
a U.S. passport
if you're not a citizen.
You can't apply with a French
passport. Yeah, you can't get global entry if you have a passport from another nationality. So it's a bit of a moot point. Let's try David in Connecticut. about global entry, not driver's licenses here, although the Trump administration has said New York state laws regarding driver's licenses that they have to change the way they're dealing with New Yorkers. Do you think that's correct?
I'm also curious to know if any of our listeners have ever applied for global entry if they're New York state residences without using a driver's license in the past. Do you not own a driver's license, but yet you achieved global entry membership? Because that would be a very interesting case study, I think, that would disprove the fact that driver's licenses would be an impediment to getting a global entry membership.
Right. Do we have David there from Connecticut or no? I guess not. Okay.
No, there he is. Hi, David.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, David.
Hi, David.
Hi, nice to speak with you. Thanks for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. No, I understand. Let me see, because I'm a layperson maybe, but I have friends that are from France and Ireland, and they're here on visa or whatever, and they have an international license, and it's not a problem. But is it an issue because they're issuing licenses to illegals? And then
no. I think, David, it has to do with the that New York State is not sharing the information, your personal information that it collects through driver's license information, is not sharing it with certain arms of the government. And that's the problem. It has to do, yes, with immigration, ultimately why that law was put in place. But it has more to do with the sharing of information. So the government is claiming, well, if we can't access the information from those driver's licenses now, you'll never be able to apply for global entry. And we're saying, well, you haven't had to have a driver's license before now.
Well, isn't New York the only state that they don't let them look at the DMV information?
I think there might be something brewing in California, too.
No, I'm pretty sure, actually, right now, New York is the only state with that. But New York is also the state with the largest percentage of people per capita who don't even have driver's licenses, as Jason was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And
great
so
public
a
transportation.
Lot of those people got global entry, and they've never had driver's licenses, which kind of, to me, portrays the lie of having to have those DMV records to get global entry, since we know that there have been hundreds of New Yorkers who don't even have driver's licenses, who have passports, and who have gotten global entry. That makes sense?
So the common person out there, though, especially in Connecticut also, where I'm from, it's people are like scratch their heads when they give licenses to people that are not even citizens. It's just a strange thing.
Yeah, that's a total legit thing to talk about, but it's not really kind of germane to the global entry issue, like how driver's licenses are issued. It's more about how if driver's licenses are required for a global entry application.
Right. Yeah. I've heard police chiefs discuss the fact that by issuing driver's licenses to people who are undocumented, they hope that will up the number of people who can get insurance, and thus if there's an accident, they'll be able to be responsible. It also allows our police to identify people if there are problems, if there's a traffic stop, if there's an accident. So from what I understand, many police departments are in favor. But you know what? That's a really other side of the issue. We're really only discussing global entry today.
Yeah. And so it basically, a person cannot get global entry, like a legal person with a license, they really can't apply for it because a license is not enough, you're saying.
Yeah, you have to be a citizen.
License.
You have to present your passport.
Right. Okay. The license was never enough. You always had to have a lot of different types of background checks done. We posted this online, and we've gotten a lot of questions from people who now assume that global entry won't be allowed for use at New York State airports, like you're flying through JFK, and it won't be usable. That's not the case. That's been a misunderstanding that has grown up about this. This has more to do with New Yorkers as citizens of the country being cut off. Yeah. All right. Well, we have to take our first break. I'd love to discuss this. I'd love to discuss your upcoming vacation. We can also discuss happier subjects in the travel realm if you'd like. Our number, once again, is 800-848-9222. We often get to the end of the show, and there's all of these calls piled up, and we can't get to everyone. So if you'd like to call early, we encourage it. 800-848-9222. We'll be right back.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here, where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com. And let's return to the phones. Once again, the number is 800-848-9222. We have Dan from Brooklyn on the line. Hey, Dan, thank you for calling.
Hey, Pauline, how are you? I hope you're well.
We are well. Nice to speak with you, Dan.
I don't know if you remember, but I called about a month ago. I was going to Australia, but the fires and the smoke and my asthma made me cancel. And I landed up in Miramar in Thailand. And I liked Thailand. A lot of Americans, a lot of Europeans. It almost felt like I was in Aruba in a way. I did get to Chiang Mai, and I got way up north where the three countries meet. I think it's called the Golden Triangle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that was interesting. Yeah, it's where you put Laos and Thailand and Miramar all meet. And there's a great elephant reserve up there. So it was nice. But I really, really liked Miramar. I just was so taken in with their Buddhist religion. They're very devout, and they've got these beautiful, beautiful temples and monasteries. A lot of them are museums. And the people themselves, they're very poor, but they're very kind. I also landed up in that lake area, Itlo, Hiho area, which is just beautiful. And
you keep saying, I have a quick question. You keep saying Miramar. Do you mean Myanmar?
Myanmar, which was Burma.
Burma, as they used to call it, yeah.
Yeah, it used to be called Burma.
Okay, yeah.
Burma, yes.
I'm misunderstanding you.
No, it's me.
So you had a great time in Myanmar. Well, thank you for calling. That's fascinating.
I've heard that many times. I've heard many people who went had a great time. There's also a lot of controversy in the last few years about it because of the regime that has run the country. So there's been some talk among traveler circles, whether do I want to travel there? Do I not travel there? But never have I heard someone come back and say that the people weren't wonderful and they had, you know, a terrific time seeing the beautiful temples of Bakan and the other major sites they've got there. It's right next to Thailand. So, it, you know, when things get easier in the future, hopefully, and we'll have nicer political times, you'll be able to shuttle back and forth a lot more easily when you're Bangkok vacation and see it all.
And interestingly, in the Golden Triangle area of Thailand, which he's right, is right on the border of those three countries, there's a fascinating museum to that area's tragic past. That area had been one of the major drug routes in the world, through which a lot of opium and cocaine, other illegal drugs came, and they have a fascinating museum there, one of the best in the world, about that slice of contemporary, very tragic history. So a very beautiful place, a place that people didn't go to until about maybe a decade and a half ago, because it had been really too dangerous an area to go to, but now it's been cleaned up, and it's supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. I've been to Thailand. I haven't been there, but I hope to return. So thank you for calling and telling us about that. Let's turn to Barry in Long Island. Barry, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. We thank you so much for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to add one small piece of information that hadn't really been touched on. When you're talking about New York State and the restriction that has been applied to New York State residents via, you know, the federal government as a result of, New York State not allowing information to be passed along to the federal government, there is an additional form of ID in Department of Motor Vehicles. They have an identification that if you don't have a driver's license, for example, you can get a New York State identification through the Department of Motor Vehicles. And, you know, that's issued. It looks exactly like a driver's license. It's the exact same thing, same format, except for the fact that you're not allowed to drive with it. And I think that, you know, that is probably what, you know, they would utilize if they I can only speculate on that, you know, anybody that wanted to apply for one of those passes, that would be what they would be using.
Well, it's one of the things. I mean, as we said earlier, the global entry process is pretty complex, actually, in terms of applying for that card. It requires fingerprinting. It requires usually passport, often birth certificate.
Biometrics. Your irises are measured. Your fingers are measured. They're intense, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of information going well beyond just the driver's license. But thank you for calling, Barry. We appreciate your call.
What I'm saying is that, what you didn't make the point was that, driver's licenses are, the only thing, the only way that that you could apply, to the federal government.
They also have
that available through Motor Vehicle Bureau. That's the only point that I'm trying to make. You were saying, well, what about all these people that don't have driver's licenses? Well, they can get that ID through Motor Vehicle
Bureau.
They can get that ID,
but they didn't have to get global entry in the past.
Nothing in the global entry instruction says you must have a DMV issued identification to apply. It just says bring your valid passport and one other form of ID. Driver's license could be it in other states. In New York, obviously it can't be it, but it could be another form of ID that has nothing to do with the DMV.
Right.
Right.
The point is that the DMV, entry that they were requiring, if you didn't drive, you could still get the DMV ID through the Motor Vehicle Bureau as a non-driver.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
I think that's the case in almost every state. You can do that because there are lots of non-drivers around.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have to take another break. Let me give out our number once again because we love your calls. That is 800-848-9222. Before we go to break, let me remind everybody that we are grateful to our sponsors here. They're what keeps us on the air. And one of our sponsors is Allianz Travel Insurance. Allianz has policies for everything that can go wrong when you travel. You could lose your luggage, you could get sick, you could miss a plane, all of those things and more are covered by various Allianz Travel Insurance policies. To find out all about their policies, visit allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
The Frommer's Guidebooks come alive. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran. The Frommer Travel Show on 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com. And we were talking earlier in the show about the fact that this week SeaWorld announced that it would no longer be doing the types of shows that had trainers riding atop dolphins, which brings us to a larger issue. A lot of companies and attractions are now rethinking how they use animals. We had a call earlier today from Dan about going to Thailand and visiting an elephant sanctuary, but that too can be controversial, right, Jason?
Well, it's hard to know, when it's a true sanctuary that is dedicated to the needs of an animal that might not survive otherwise, and when it's taking advantage of an animal. I've heard some terrible stories about some unethical elephant sanctuaries where they're elephants are controlled by metal rods and are sort of forced to carry people around, and others that are much more gentle and are truly about the preservation of the creature. And it's not always easy to know. I think a good guidebook will obviously tell you this place is ethical, this place is not ethical. But, when for years you go down to Acapulco and you could go swim with a dolphin. You could hug a dolphin and it'll drag you across the tank and just pay a little money. And there are people who think that since the dolphins don't necessarily get a choice, that that is considered unethical. But it's not always easy to tell until you've paid your money and gone inside. So I think a lot of people just want to do away with this kind of entertainment in general.
Well, a rule of thumb for elephant sanctuaries, I believe, is it's considered unethical to ride the dolphins. Even though that went on for centuries, apparently that's a very painful process for elephants. So those sanctuaries where the elephants are cared for, where they're fed, where people can interact but not ride them. I think that's usually a good rule of thumb that you can figure out if you're thinking of going to a place. As well, in the Frommer Guides, we go very deeply into the subject of ethical elephant sanctuaries. You know, I actually edited the Thailand book and was very careful with that. Sorry, Jason.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It's interesting because SeaWorld, in its statement about not riding, trainers riding or stepping on dolphins anymore, didn't mention this park called Discovery Cove, which is a high-end priced park in Orlando, where I think they only let a couple hundred people in a day and you just enjoy yourself by the water all day. But one of the options you can add on to a ticket is to swim with a dolphin and to get in the water and to hold its fin, and it'll drag you forward for 30 or 40 feet while they take photos. Didn't say it's going to stop that. That apparently is still going to be happening. Tourists holding on to dolphins. But I do know in that case, in that park, if dolphins don't want to participate, there's an exit. They can just go swim in the other pool if they're not in the mood to play around with tourists that day, and tourists will get a refund. And I don't know if that makes the difference or not.
Interesting. Well, I know that it's been a big issue for SeaWorld. In fact, they have kind of changed their focus away from the shows and more to rides.
Yeah.
You're the Orlando expert. That's correct, right?
They've made a giant push in Orlando to build lots more thrill rides. They built two or three mega coasters, giant, gorgeous, fantastic, quick, really scary roller coasters, kind of some of the best in Florida, as a way to compensate for what they're getting rid of in the questionable ethics department with animals. So they made a conscious choice maybe 6 or 7 years ago to start becoming more of a theme park with a, you know, water theme rather than an animal entertainment park. So it's not the same as you might have seen if you haven't been for many years.
It's an interesting question. I'd love to get our listeners' take on this. What do you think about travel attractions that include animals? Does it make you uncomfortable? Does it draw you in? I mean, I've gone to many places around the world. I just was on safari in Africa. Of course, that's different in that the animals are all roaming freely, and we as the humans in the vans have to drive up and find them. They're not being kept in places that they wouldn't necessarily be. But I've been to Monkey Road in Ubud, Indonesia, where monkeys grab at your cameras and if you have anything in your hands. And that's the big attraction of going to see the monkeys there. But once again, those monkeys are allowed to roam free. What do you think? Do you think there are bad ethical issues involved in this? Or do you think that there are times when it's okay for humans to interact? I mean, looking at the dolphin issue, there are many dolphin experiences that are geared towards children with autism, people with other disabilities. They've found that it's very therapeutic for people to interact with the dolphins in this way. And it kind of breaks my heart that might be gone for humans who need that. I don't know, Jason. What do you think? Do you think that?
I wish we can have Google Translate, but we need to have a dolphin click translator so we can just go, do you like this? Are you okay with this? Do you want to play with us today or not? Question solved. But
right,
you know, it's hard because we have, in every case, everyone thinks they know what the animal is feeling and wanting, and none of us really ultimately does.
No, none of us do. And speaking of none of us knowing, one of the things we don't know is whether or not we will be talking to you in a couple of minutes. And we'd love to have other folks' voices on the show. So if you'd like to give us a call, once again, the number is 800-848-9222. I'm going to go to commercial so that you can call and talk to the lovely Jen and she can get you up on the call board. Before we go to commercial, let me remind everybody that when you buy 3 dozen or so policies from Allianz Travel Insurance, one of the sponsors of the show, you not only get really good protection when you travel, but you're going to get some Frommer material. That's right. We have partnered with Allianz to give out information about 3 dozen destinations, whether it's what restaurants you should go to, how to best create an itinerary for your vacation, or what are the top attractions in town. To find out more, go to allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com and let us visit the phones. 800-848-9222 is our number. We got Joe from Paterson, New Jersey on the line. Hey, Joe, what do you know?
Hey, great show as always.
Thanks.
Yeah, about animals. You know, there's been a lot of talk lately about shutting down the rodeos. So, but those animals go through. That's painful. When you
That'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, won't it? Because that's such a deeply held tradition.
Yeah. You're right. But
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to just comment. You know, in Florida, did they start the, I haven't been there in years, but the alligator wrestlers? Or that's another sport that probably has seen its day, I think.
Well, they're still doing it, I know, in Gatorland, which is in Orlando, Florida. It's been there since the 40s. They just jump right on top. Now, usually they do the younger gators rather than the giant ones for safety reasons. But and you can still take your picture with your kid while, you know, holding on a gator snout. And that's all still happening there.
Wow, amazing. I think about going back to Florida. I want to relive my childhood. And could you tell me whether Busch Gardens is still operation or Weeki Wachee?
Both of them are still around. They've both been around forever. But, you know, Busch Gardens is full of roller coasters. You do like roller coasters, Joe?
Yeah. Except unless they go upside down. I don't like that. I like the Coney Island type of roller coaster. But Weeki Wachee, I can still visualize those commercials with those ladies on the skis and
Now you're confusing Weeki Wachee with Cypress Gardens. Cypress Gardens was with the Esther Williams did, I think it was Easy to Love, I can't remember which one it was, but she worked on a lake in Florida with girls on jet ski going behind on water skis and pyramids. That was Cypress Gardens. It no longer exists. It was from the 30s until about the 80s, and now it's the Legoland. But Weeki Wachee is also been around since the 40s. It still exists. It's in a state park, but there's this performance theater where, ever since the 40s, pretty young women and the occasional young man dress up as mermaids. They breathe through a little air hose, and then there's like an underwater theater where you can sit where you're dry, look through the glass, and the mermaids go past you in front of the glass and wave at you, and it's kind of a kick, and that's still around. And at that state park, which is Weeki Wachee, about an hour north of Tampa, sometimes you'll see manatees, especially in the wintertime. It's a real old Florida thing that every year we expect it to go away the way Cypress Gardens did, but it is still with us.
And it seems very appropriate that manatees are nearby too, because people used to mistake manatees for mermaids, right? Isn't that one of the reasons we have that type of mythology?
I have heard that. It probably had something to do with the rum they always had on board and looking overboard with, you know, having had a couple pints. But yeah, mm-hmm. Or maybe loneliness. Right. I don't know.
Sorry, Joe, I cut you off. Is Busch Garden still around?
It sure is. And every year they add another major coaster. This year, I forget what it's going to be called, but it's going to be one of the biggest things they've ever added. I think in the old days, it was more known for its ties to the Anheuser-Busch brewery, and because there was a safari you could drive around and see lots of animals. More and more and more, though, it's about its theme park rides, which it's got a great reputation in Florida. It's probably got the best collection of truly thrilling theme park rides in the state. Yeah.
And I got to salute Busch Gardens because they give very good military discounts to active military members.
Oh, great.
We salute them for.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Let's move to Steve in Brooklyn. Hey, Steve, thank you for your patience. We appreciate you waiting around to speak.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Great show as always. I just wanted to say that, you know, these groups that want to ban the circuses and the rodeos and all these other types of animal products, they're a very small fringe group that's out of control. And it's a crazy thing that they want to ban circuses and animals from our lives. And not only just in the visual sense, they also want to do it in from our food. I mean, when you start thinking about everything that these animal rights groups, not animal welfare groups, animal rights groups, they want to take
you know, dairy away. They want to take ice cream out of children's mouths. They want to take pizza away from our family. They want to destroy our summer barbecues.
Well, I agree with you. They're small groups, and they're very, very powerful. We were actually targeted by them, by PETA, at the Frommer Guides. They started calling me. They started calling everybody who distributes our books. They started calling some bookstores, because in our book on Florida, which Jason writes, we include information on SeaWorld, which, of course, we have to. It's a major, major site. And they were trying to get me to change the content of the books, to not even mention SeaWorld, because they felt it shouldn't even be mentioned. And I really reacted badly to being bullied in that way, and we didn't. If you read our books, I think you get a very balanced view of what SeaWorld does well and what PETA's and other animal rights groups' complaints are about them. But I agree with you. I think it's gotten a little out of control.
The irony of the whole thing is they went after you for writing a book, but PETA actually kills puppies and kittens, and they've been prosecuted for it.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank you for calling, Steve. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Roseanne in New Jersey. Hey, Roseanne, you're live on the Frommer Travel Show. We appreciate you calling.
Hi, Jason and Pauline. You have a wonderful show. I listen to you every time I can. So I have a comment on global entry, but also a question on travel insurance. First of all, on global entry, it is a fantastic program. We recently returned from the Dominican Republic, and it took us about 5 minutes to get through U.S. Customs. When we returned from Portugal, we actually cleared customs in Canada, which was great. And it really, for those people who travel frequently, it really is a wonderful, wonderful program.
Yeah, it is. And what was your question on travel insurance?
At one point, we were able to get annual travel insurance. We travel frequently, and it's like $200 to $300 or so each time we travel. And the place that we got it through discontinued it. And so I wanted to ask you if you had any information on annual travel insurance rather than getting travel insurance on each trip.
Sure, it does exist still. I happen to have a policy myself through a company called GeoBlue. I don't specifically recommend it for any reason, except I just happen to choose that. GeoBlue does it, but I found it, I think when I did a search for all kinds of insurance policies on insuremytrip.com. What happens there is you tell insuremytrip.com where you're going, what you're doing, or if you want just an annual policy, and it spits back a bunch of different quotes from different insurers, and I just chose one that happened to be GeoBlue. There's also another website that does that called SquareMouth. So that's how I found these annual travel insurance that cover all the trips I take during the year. But you know, you might find your own through those websites.
Yeah, right, I hope that helps, Roseanne. Go ahead. Sorry.
Could you just repeat the two website names?
The two websites that you can search lots of insurance policies at once and choose your favorite is InsureMyTrip.com and SquareMouth.com. And the company that I chose in my case was GeoBlue.
Okay, very good. Thanks so much for the information.
Thank you. We have to take another break, but don't turn that dial. We'll be right back.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
Well, thank you for listening to the Frommer Travel Show. We appreciate it. You know, I think we would be irresponsible if we didn't discuss a little bit about coronavirus, because it is really impacting a lot of people's travels, especially those on the cruise ships. I mean, we just found out in the news break that the U.S. government will be sending planes to bring people home, the folks who had been quarantined above on a cruise ship in Tokyo
Japan.
Harbor.
In
Japan, yeah.
Yeah, the problem was, I think that the numbers were just growing. They were on this cruise ship, and first they had 70-something infections, and it went to 170. Now it's 230. Yeah. And I think our government decided, let's get them out of there, because it just keeps adding. So now they're going to bring them for quarantine for 15 days here, and then it'll be over for those Americans.
It's an interesting time. I flew out to Los Angeles the other day, and I have never seen as many people on the plane wearing masks. It might be a good policy. I mean, one of the things I've been doing as a traveler is I've been washing my hands, almost like I'm
the best thing you can do.
It's the best thing you can do. The masks, there was an article, I think, in the New York Times about which masks actually do something, because not all of them can keep you away from viruses. So you want to make sure you're wearing the right kind of mask if you're going to go that far. But it's a nervous-making time. There is talk that when the weather turns warmer, the virus will become less prevalent. I think there's going to be hangovers in the travel industry. I mean, I hate to even talk about it in this way, but I think it's going to be, we're going to see a dip in people booking cruises, because we're probably going to hear a lot of horror stories about being quarantined on that ship. I think it was probably a very disturbing incident for those who had to live through it. So I don't know, Jason, what do you think?
Well, I think a lot of travel companies are taking huge hits. Hilton is closing hundreds of hotels in Asia. Royal Caribbean has canceled 8 cruises so far. Both the theme parks owned by Disney in Hong Kong and in Shanghai have been closed for almost a month, I think, at this point. And those things have a knock-on effect, I think, at home financially, because now these companies need to cut corners in other places to make up for the loss that they've experienced or still experiencing in Asia, especially. So who knows how that will affect product here and the health of the companies here. Because so it is something that, even though it hasn't gone rampant in the North America yet, and I hope it never does, it still affects us.
Yeah, and you discussed this last week. The fact is, the Chinese right now, or until a month ago, were the biggest and most important group of travelers on the planet, because they had the numbers and they also spent more than other nationalities. And so because of this abrupt shut off of the spigot of Chinese travelers around the world, we're seeing lower occupancy rates at hotels in Paris, in Berlin, in New York, especially in New York. Apparently New York is suffering because they expected a huge influx of Chinese tourists over Chinese New Year's, and that didn't hurt. So that may mean those of you looking for a deal everywhere are going to find them more than you would have a month ago. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, especially in places that would normally be frequented by a Chinese tourist. And it's not just that, you know, a lot of the cruise lines, one of the things they're doing to cope with this and to head off the spread is, if you have traveled to China or Hong Kong in the last month, you won't be allowed to take a cruise here, because there's still that 2-week, 15-day incubation period or you know, restriction period to make sure you're clear of the disease, and no one wants to risk it. So that's also going to affect more travel to where you're able to go later on if you're a regular traveler.
Yeah, and just to change the subject to talk something a little happier, the founder of JetBlue is starting a new airline, and we think it's going to be a good thing. It's called Breeze Airlines. Jason, can you give a little background on it?
Yeah, it's the guy, as you said, who started JetBlue all those years ago. And he wants to call it, I think, the world's friendliest airline. He's starting all over again. I think he's out of JetBlue. It's going to be focusing on cities in America that don't get a lot of play, that are off of the major hub system that the major airlines use. So we're talking, you know, Orlando-Sanford Airport rather than Orlando International, which is the major one. We're talking perhaps Newburgh, New York. Airports like that. And the more that these are served, hopefully the lower airfares will go from those cities, since finally there will be some competition and it'll be direct flights. So you won't have to change so many times to get between these two cities as you would have had to done in the current hub system. So hopefully Breeze will do well. They're ordering a bunch of planes. They're very well financed, and he's had success in the past. The guy knows what he's doing. So this airline was announced as Moxie, but they've renamed it Breeze, which I think is better than Moxie.
I like Breeze better, yeah, too. And it's going to make all of America, I think, knock wood, more affordable, especially the secondary cities. And what is better than exploring this great country of ours? I'm giving them a big bravo for doing this. I'm also looking at the clock. It's time to say goodbye for this week. We thank you so much for listening. To those traveling, a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.